You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There are cases where the facts are murky, cases where investigators genuinely don't know what happened yet, cases where the information coming out is slow, careful, and consistent because everyone is aligned on what little they do know. And then there are cases like this one, the death of Celeste Rivas Hernandez, the girl found dead in a Tesla linked to the rising musician David. It is not just confusing, it is tragic. It's not just unfinished, it is without exaggeration one of the most contradictory, fragmented, whiplash-inducing investigations that we've seen in a long time. Not because the circumstances are inexplicable, but because the communication around the case is inexplicable. Every day, it feels like LAPD is living in one version of the story, the media is living in another, anonymous sources are living in a third, and the public is left trying to assemble a coherent narrative from puzzle pieces that don't fit together. The result is a case that looks less like a homicide investigation and more like a fog machine, where the smoke doesn't hide the truth, it just obscures the shape of the lies, the half-truths, and the withheld information behind all of it. So let's break it down. Not the sensational rumors, but the contradictions. Because when contradictions are this significant, when they persist this stubbornly, they're not accidents. They're signs that something deeper is going on. And in a case with this much confusion surrounding it right now, it's not necessarily a good sign. There is confusion everywhere. And I want to start with the contradiction that starts and sits at the foundation of this entire story. What kind of investigation is this? Because depending on which official LAPD statement you read, and what date you read it, and who it comes from, and is it official or unofficial, the case is either a simple death investigation in which a child tragically died and her body was concealed for reasons unknown, or a full-blown murder investigation serious enough that the LAPD went to a judge, laid out their case, and obtained a court-ordered secrecy hold over every single piece of medical evidence. The two lanes do not coexist very well peacefully together. Early on, LAPD told multiple outlets the same line. This is a death investigation. We have not labeled it a homicide. We have not identified any suspects. Just a body found in a Tesla at a tow yard. Undetermined cause of death, undetermined matter. That was the public-facing message. But then, quietly, and only because of a court filing later obtained by the Los Angeles Times, out comes a completely different reality. In that filing, Detective Joshua Byers of LAPD Robbery Homicide explicitly refers to the case as an investigation into a murder. Not a possible homicide, not an undetermined death, not a suspicious circumstance. Murder. And it wasn't just language. They weren't trying to win a debate or sue the public. They were trying to convince a judge to seal every single medical record related to Celeste's deaths, the autopsy, toxicology, cause, manner, photos, all of it. And the judge has now agreed. So we have two realities. The public-facing reality. We don't know if this is even a crime. And the courtroom reality. This is a murder investigation. And everybody, all the hands in the cookie jar, trying to figure out what to say when someone asks them a question. Do I say what I know? Do I say what I don't know? Do I say what I think it is? Do I say what it really is, but we're not telling anybody yet? Do I say what we're not telling anybody yet, but what we think it is? Or what do we say? How do these two realities exist at the same time? The answer is poorly. They exist poorly. But that's the through line of the entire case. The facts aren't just unclear. The story is unclear. The messaging is unclear. And the voices telling the story can't seem to agree with each other. Nowhere is that more obvious than the confusion surrounding the condition of Celeste's body, specifically the now infamous frozen body element, which we had talked about with Jennifer Coffendaffer on this show. Sources had been telling NBC4 and ABC in Los Angeles and People magazine, according to those very outlets, that the body had been frozen. Let's talk about this, because now we're getting the police saying, no, the body wasn't found frozen. And that found aspect is the key piece to that statement, because in my opinion, the two can coexist. Frozen body, not frozen body. How? Let's talk about this clearly, because clarity is exactly what the public has not been given up to this point. Early rumors, a sensational tabloid-born kind, claim Celeste's body was found partially frozen or even fully frozen. And then TikTok ran within the Tesla. Sensational, yes, but these claims spread fast. Or is it sensational? Or is it people just running with what they think they hear? Because it's not rocket science to understand that if you put a body in the back of a Tesla and leave it sitting for weeks on end, the body's not going to be frozen anymore. It's going to thaw. And this is how my brain was working the whole time that this came into play, that okay, it was once frozen, it showed signs of being frozen, advanced decomposition, which they do talk about. That happens after you freeze something. And a medical examiner observation versus the investigator observation of something can be completely different depending on who's looking at it, how they're looking at it, and their expertise. Just because it's not frozen at that moment in time doesn't mean a medical examiner couldn't go, this body's been frozen before. Doesn't have to be frozen in that moment for someone to say, this was once frozen. The LAPD's robbery homicide captain, Scott Williams, spoke to People magazine and says plainly, no, she wasn't frozen, and no, she wasn't decapitated, and no, she wasn't dismembered. Her remains were in an advanced state of decomposition, and he adds an important detail. She had been in that car for weeks in the heat. Okay, I don't think anyone is questioning that. And that's where most outlets stop. Case closed, right? Frozen theory debunked, right? No. Not exactly, because what Williams actually said, if you examine his words or listen to them or just comprehend what he said, is that she was not frozen when found. He did not say she was never frozen at any earlier point. He did not say there's no evidence of prior freezing. He did not say the body shows no signs of early temperature manipulation. He only said the simplest, narrowest version of the claim. She wasn't frozen in the trunk when we found her. And that's very different from she was never frozen. And here's the uncomfortable truth that no headline wants to point out. Those two versions absolutely can coexist. They can be true simultaneously. A body can be frozen early, stored elsewhere, thawed, left to decompose in the heat for weeks. And if you do that, by the time police find it, decomposition can mask or overwhelm the earlier freezing phase, especially if the medical examiner's findings are sealed and the police are only speaking in broad public-facing terms and what exactly they saw in their department, not exactly what a medical examiner saw in their department. Is that exactly what happened? Your guess is as good as mine. But usually when pieces are interjected into the case from official sources, there's usually some element of truth to it. How it plays with the rest of the facts, that depends on the case. And then it's also then dependent on how one interprets those facts, because no one's flat out giving us a timeline saying, here's this, here's that, here's officially how it all went down. Here's a nugget here, here's a nugget there, there's a nugget here. So if we're hearing nuggets of, well, she was in an advanced state of decomposition in this Tesla, cooking in there for weeks, basically, and then you have another source telling very reputable outlets she was frozen, okay, it doesn't mean she was frozen coming out of the trunk. That never has made any sense to me. The only thing that's ever made sense to me was that somebody froze her, thought this is a bad idea. Let's throw her in the trunk. Another bad idea. The two can easily coexist here. This is not, it's not rocket science. One doesn't cancel out the other. When media outlets claim LAPD debunked the freezer theory, what they're actually doing is oversimplifying a much narrower detail, a denial that applies only to the moment of discovery, not the full timeline of events that preceded it. Again, contradiction, not necessarily between truth and lie, but between what was said and what people think was said. And the theme continues everywhere you look in this case. Let's move to the next major contradiction, the dismemberment rumor. The rumor didn't come from nowhere. It came from tabloids who claimed dismembered remains were found in the Tesla. Sensational, sloppy, irresponsible, but common in tabloid land. Then again, Captain Williams clearly denies it. No dismemberment, no decapitation. You would think that settles it. But when People magazine, the very same outlet publishing Williams' denials, publishes a different story, quoting a police source claiming investigators believe David had help dismembering and disposing of the body, it makes people wonder. Let that all sink in. One article says the body was not dismembered. Another article says the same publication quotes a source saying investigators believe dismemberment did occur. Here's where my mind lines up. Advanced decomposition. You freeze something, you let it thaw, cook it in the trunk. You know what? When you start taking those pieces out, they kind of fall apart. And it wouldn't be crazy for someone with information on the inside who was aware of how the body was found, maybe even saw it, noticed, this body doesn't seem to be quite together. Doesn't necessarily mean dismembered by another person, but a body can naturally dismember itself if sat in a cooking trunk after being frozen and then thawed out. Muscles, all that breaks down, and eventually your limbs just kind of fall off. not dismembering in the, let's take a hacksaw sense, but dismembering in a sense of nature is taking its course. This is not the public messing up. It's not TikTok hallucinating details. It's contradictory information coming out of the same newsroom. Another contradiction. And when we get to the Tesla, now we shouldn't even have to discuss the Tesla in great detail. The car is the crime scene. You would think the type of Tesla would be one of the most basic, undisputed facts in the entire case. But here again, the reporting is all over the place. Some outlets describe it as a Tesla sedan and explicitly say the body was in the front trunk or frunk. Others describe it as a Tesla SUV. Some call it a rental. Some call it personal vehicle. Some say the body was in the rear trunk. Some don't specifically say anything at all. When the crime scene itself can't be consistently described, it's not just sloppy journalism. That's a sign that the official information being handed down is chaotic, imprecise, or deliberately thin. Which brings us to the timeline, one of the most important elements of any suspicious death. LAPD has repeatedly maintained that Celeste's body was in the car for weeks. This phrasing isn't ambiguous. They used it multiple times. Weeks. Fine. But if the body was in the car for weeks, that does not automatically rule out the possibility that she was stored elsewhere first. That does not rule out earlier freezing. That does not rule out being moved between locations. That does not rule out a secondary scene. That does not rule out a delay between death and placement in the Tesla. But the public hasn't been offered any clarity on those intermediate steps. Instead, we get a very simple, very narrow phrase: she was in the car for weeks. It's a statement that answers the last part of the timeline while leaving every earlier part just basically shrouded in silence. And when those gaps exist, speculation fills them. Because that's what speculation does. It grows wherever factual clarity is withheld. And nowhere are the contradictions more glaring, more frustrating, and more destabilizing than in the question of David Burke, David himself. What is his status? This should be easy to answer. It should be printed, clear, and consistent across every official source. But instead, we get the same problem again. Two realities occupying the same space. On one hand, the LAPD spokespeople, the PIOs, we get their line, he has not been interviewed. We have not spoken with him. We have not named any suspects. This is what we're hearing from official, unofficial sources. You're hearing both inside and official, anonymous sources. Not an official writing, but they're talking to someone officially inside, according to some reporting. Then from People magazine, quoting Captain Williams of RHD, we get a different message entirely. He's spoken with investigators. He's not been fully cooperative. He is considered a suspect internally. What is it? Some say no interview. Some say he did speak with police. The captain, in some reporting, says he is a suspect. Anonymous police sources say detectives believe he had helped moving the body. But other sources say, nah, we don't know if a crime even occurred at all. This is where contradictions stop being inconvenient and start being alarming, because when the communications wing of the LAPD and the investigative wing of the LAPD are telling two different stories, the public has no idea which version to trust and what reporting to trust, especially when reputable sources are talking to insiders with these departments and claiming these department insiders are telling us this or that, and then the department says, nope, not at all. And another one says, oh yeah, it is. It's not about protecting an investigation. Secrecy is one thing. The inconsistency that fuels suspicion is exactly this. If you ask the public to draw a timeline of this investigation using the information provided in press statements, they couldn't do it. They would end up with two timelines stacked on top of each other, and that's exactly what we're seeing in real time. In my opinion, the biggest contradiction, the one that reveals the tension beneath all of this, is the sealed autopsy. Autopsy records do not get sealed automatically. They do not get sealed lightly. They do not get sealed unless the cause or manner of death would significantly impact the investigation. And when LAPD went to court to seal every single medical detail related to Celeste's death, they weren't doing that because they thought this was an accidental overdose. They weren't doing that because they thought this was a tragic situation with no criminal element. Parliament. They did that because they wanted to prevent the public and anyone else in their circle from knowing what happened to her or when it happened or how it happened. You only seal an autopsy when you're protecting a case. You only seal toxicology when you're protecting a timeline. You only seal manner of death when its release would change the public's understanding dramatically, perhaps too dramatically. So the contradiction becomes undeniable. We don't even know if a crime occurred. Public courtroom actions or private courtroom actions, we need to hide everything because this is a murder investigation. These two realities cannot coexist unless the LAPD is trying to walk the thinnest possible tightrope between transparency and strategy, or unless the left hand and right hand aren't talking to each other at all. Either option is concerning. And that brings us to now, the moment where the public is left staring at the case full of conflicting facts, half denials, and uncertainty. So let's step back. Let's ask the question that should have been asked from the start. Why are there so many contradictions? Contradictions like this do not happen in a vacuum. They happen when investigators know more than they can say, public information officers say less than investigators know, and anonymous insiders say more than anyone is supposed to know. Tabloids invent details no one ever said, and journalists confused by all of this report every version side by side. When communication is inconsistent, the truth becomes impossible to identify on the surface. When the public statements are vague, speculation rushes in to fill the gaps every time. When official channels contradict each other, the public loses confidence, and rightfully so. This case doesn't feel fractured because the truth is complicated. It feels fractured because the messaging is. It's not the facts creating the confusion, it's the silence around them. And until LAPD aligns its internal messaging with its public messaging, until the major contradictions are resolved instead of ignored, until the story becomes consistent with all directions, we are left in a place no investigation should ever leave the public. Somewhere between what happened, what's being said, and what's being kept quiet. And that's the most dangerous place of all, because in that space, speculation doesn't just grow, it thrives. What do you think? Tell me in the comments section on YouTube. Because your guess, frankly, is as good as mine at this point. When your sources are all over the place, and the official message is all over the place, and everybody jumps at one thing, says this cancels this out, and it really doesn't, it just creates more confusion. So who knows? Is he even a suspect? We don't really know the true answer to that right at this moment in time. Is this a murder investigation? We don't know. We know there's a dead girl and a lot of questions. And still not a lot of public-facing answers. Give me your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us there. Press subscribe while you're at it. We're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We're getting closer. We might make it. I don't know. With your help, we can. So please do hit subscribe if you want to keep following our reporting on this. We're trying to be as transparent and bring it to you as it happens. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on to another case that continues to garner our curiosity and, of course, headlines, the David Celeste Rivas Hernandez case. We now have multiple major outlets quoting law enforcement insiders saying investigators are looking at forensic indicators consistent with dismemberment, indicators consistent with freezing or refrigeration, and even the possibility that Celeste may have died months earlier than anyone even realized. And then the part nobody can wrap their head around. Those same insiders say the person whose car she was found in has not even been interviewed by investigators, not questioned, not sat down. Nothing. Combine that with the reporting that investigators believe more than one person may have been involved in concealing her body. You can feel this case shifting from tragedy into something far more orchestrated. That is our backdrop. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is here to help break all of this down and what it actually means from an investigative standpoint. Let's start right there. Why, if true, has no one questioned David? Or is it simply, he said no, I'm not going to be questioned right now?
Yeah, that is your answer. Very early on, he had counsel. We know that because counsel actually said, we're cooperative. That's what the counsel said. Mm-hmm. We're cooperative. But I don't believe he's ever been questioned, and I don't think the counsel is going to let him be questioned. So that's why he hasn't been questioned. He can say no.
Mm-hmm. So does cooperative mean that you're showing up for questioning, or does cooperative mean we'll answer your questions but we don't have to necessarily give you the answer you're looking for? We can just simply say, no, we'll pass on that opportunity to talk to you.
Well, I don't know any defense attorney who has ever said my client is being uncooperative. So this is just kind of the canned speech. Yeah. Look, we're cooperating. We're being, but I don't believe that's truthful at all from what law enforcement considers cooperation. Cooperation of law enforcement is you come in there, you can bring your attorney, and you answer every question asked of you, and you produce samples and anything else we need. So this would not be under the cooperative type defendant.
So why then at this point do you not have an arrest or something? I mean, you have a body in the back of your truck. I think that might be technically illegal. Would it not? I mean, having a human remains, dismembered remains in your vehicle, that's got to violate some law.
I
would think at the very least you'd be brought in for something. And again, you don't have to answer the questions, but why have we seen nothing as of yet in terms of any sort of arrest or minor charges or any activity for that matter?
Well, I can tell you from my standpoint as an investigator, you want to have all the answers before you ever talk to your suspect, if you can. And in this type of a case where you have the remains that are in such horrible shape, you have an ME that has not given a cause or manner of death, and you're still sorting through what I think is a digital forensic nightmare, because this kid, David, spent his entire life on the computer. I think it's going to be a nightmare for forensics to analyze everything. Plus, you have that Tesla. And we've talked about it a lot. But, there's a lot of layers as to what they're going to have. I think no doubt they're going to have GPS. But I don't know what else they will have, depending on what he disabled.
Why do you think it'll be a nightmare in terms of that? Because I can look at it on the other side and say, wouldn't this be a godsend that everything he does is on record and everything is digital? And if he wrote or did anything about this case, about these events digitally, wouldn't that secure the case even more? Or is it more of a nightmare because it's just probably going to be that much more to go through?
It's because of the voluminous nature of all the information. I totally agree with you, Tony. If they can extract, it just depends on how good he was at deleting and covering things up. Mm-hmm. Typically, a great forensic analyst, which LAPD has, they're going to be able to, find it. But this is the problem. When you have this type of volume, you only have so many people that do this job. And of those people, they've got hundreds of other cases they're looking at. And so that's why all of this is just going to take a long time.
Well, and they have to, I'm assuming, go after credit card receipts, things like that. Start looking for, where did you pay for this cooler that we'll get to in a few minutes about the freezing body and things like that? Somebody had to pay for something.
That's not necessarily. I mean, if you already got a fridge or a freezer and you got a body, why would you be going to Best Buy and buying a new one?
Well, maybe. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just curious. I mean, I don't have a freezer that could fit a body, but that's just me.
I do, and I got 7 bodies in it right now.
Shit,
I'm talking to someone who's connected with the FBI. No.
Luckily, it's just Cornish hen bodies.
Yeah, they're bodies, but they're Cornish hens.
that box that I think you're going to ask me about that has the freezer purportedly That freezer was given as a gift from a fan because the girlfriend loved the particular cut, like the push-up pop or some sort of popsicle, and they wanted to have one in studio for convenience of freezing things. I'm just telling you, at least some of the information out there. Also, if you consider the dismemberment piece, did they dismember so she could fit in a smaller space? Now, that big Sub-Zero they show that was at the house, you know, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see them take it out of there like we saw in the Harmony Montgomery case. Mm-hmm. They literally took the refrigerator because the stepmom had said she was in there at one point. So they're looking for, you know, cells or, you know, any instances of blood that could have been on that shelving, even though it'd been for years later. The fact that they didn't take that Sub-Zero out to do, you know, the analysis they would need to do, it just makes me think that they did, that they don't think that that's where the freezer that was used.
Let me ask this. How common is it when the FBI is going in to do an investigation and they're raiding a home and they're looking for any sort of evidence of a crime, if there is a Sub-Zero freezer in there that could potentially have held a body at one point in time, how often is that one of those things where it's like, yep, we're testing that, like, regardless? It's just like standard protocol. Like, we're going to check for prints on doorknobs or something. Just like one of those, like, we're checking this no matter what. Or is that something that they're only going to look at if they have evidence that, in this case, as we're now learning, allegedly, that the body did show signs of basically being thawed?
Absolutely. If you have any information that body was frozen, refrigerated in any way, you would take that Sub-Zero.
But what if there's not? Are you looking? Is it like a standard place to look to begin with?
Well, it should be standard because drug dealers, people everybody thinks the freezer's the perfect place. I don't know why. I don't know why I found so much dope in freezers, and the other place are toilet bowls. People are like, yeah, nobody's going to find it here, when that's kind of one of the first places we look. So I find that interesting. Actually, a very clever place where contraband was hidden, the most clever place, and this took 10 years for me to realize, and the next 10 years I always searched here when I searched, was in the gutters on top of the house, all inside plastic. Nobody looks on the roof for things. When search prints are done, we look in the yard, we're pulling up floorboards, we're taking down drywall, and nobody goes up on the roof. I tell you, I learned my lesson, and I went up on the roof after that. But for getting a confession, I would have never known, and he admitted everything was up there.
Wow. That's where you got to look at the squirrels in the yard and go,
they're all high.
Does this resemble Bobby and Whitney in the 90s? And you're like, there's a squirrel over there going like, we don't do crack. Crack is whack. And the squirrels are kind of like jittery and shit. And that's how you know what's going on. The cracked out squirrels. But that is a good place, I would think, to... air vents, I would think, would probably be another obvious place. Is that the place that would always be checked as well, of people think that, you know, we're going to put this in the vent and no one's going to look here?
Yeah, any place you think a kid would hide something, that's where...
Okay.
And kids always hide things where they think you're not going to look, like in a freezer, something you can't readily see. So it's pretty obvious. And of course, now this is what's interesting to me. I got to tell you, it's jumping off the page to me. Everybody's talking about this freezer situation, but nobody is asking the question, why in the hell freeze a body for months?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, where you dismembered it, remember they think she might have dismembered or been dismembered in a very rural, secluded place somewhere outside of Santa Barbara. That's what this new information is saying, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you just dispose of the body? So I just riddled myself that. And I'm just saying, and I have a list. The list is long and healthy of non-serial killers. One of them, I'll tell you, the butcher of Montreal, who Lin Jun was his victim, a Chinese international student. And, you know, a lot of people enjoy doing things to the body once it's dead. And cannibalism. And I know nobody wants to hear that. You might think it's way over the top, but I'm telling you, it is not over the top. There is no reason to keep a frozen body. Plus, according to the new information, if we are to believe this, multiple cuts, multiple, you know, cuts in those extremities. Why is that? Were they practice cuts? Did they not get it small enough? I've already showed that you can fit somebody in a frunk as long as their limbs are dismembered. Why would you have to decapitate somebody? You wouldn't to fit in space. Did they to fit in the freezer? If it's a normal freezer, yes, but not in a deep freeze.
Yeah. Whoever did this, I mean, what is the reasoning for it, and why would you be doing those sort of things? None of it makes a lot of sense at all in this case. Are they any closer, do you think, to getting an idea of who may be involved in this, whether it is David, whether it's associates of his? It has to be somebody in the circle. There's somebody to access to this vehicle, without a doubt. But how close they were to him, we just don't know the answer to that question yet. Are they still just kind of letting people be people and watching their actions and seeing if some of those actions speak louder than words before swooping in? Is that what's going on right now?
Well, I tell you what, according again to all of this information that's been broken, he's been named a suspect. So that happened several days ago. And then beyond that, the newest information is that there's more than one involved. But law enforcement knew there was more than one involved. Whenever you have a dismemberment like this by somebody who's not a career criminal, who's not used to chopping up bodies and to hide them, it would only make sense that he had help. Plus, this is somebody who doesn't even rent his own places. His manager does it for him, or, you know, take care of things. This is a millionaire who has a business to run from the standpoint of he's the talent and shows to do and things like that. He has minions that handle everything else. And so to me, it was always obvious if indeed she was dismembered, he had help.
Wow. The PI, and again, there have been things with this PI that have been inaccurate in other cases. Taking his claims with a grain of salt, but they are what they are. He, early on, when he was brought in, made statements to the effect of claiming to have found writings that somehow insinuated very abhorrent things with the body, very disturbing. I forget exact terms, but it was something along those lines of just very disturbing to see somebody have written about this. With the body being in the freezer, with what you alluded to earlier, it does make me wonder, was that some of what was being alluded to? If you're concealing this body, if you're keeping this body, if you're freezing this body, does that allude to something? Or is this, again, really young, dumb people not wanting to be caught with a transient minor on their hands, because God knows what was going on with her and the people involved. We don't know the answer to that. It could have been predatory. It might not have been. But they were harboring a minor, it seems, for some point in time. Was this freak out? What do we do with this body? Well, we can't get rid of it. And in their infinite wisdom or lack thereof, thought, well, let's freeze it until we can figure out what to do so it doesn't smell. I mean, I could see that path of stupidity still involving a chest freezer.
I can see that, Tony, for a day or two, maybe even a week. But why is it months, purportedly? And then why do you make the brilliant decision to put it in your car and then to park your car where in the vicinity of your house? When I've seen that before, and I could think of one particular case, it was actually a bank robbery case. And the person would steal vehicles to use in the bank robberies. And they kept the vehicles in a location that was a relative location near or a relative's location that they frequented. Why? Because they wanted to keep an eye on it. They wanted to know, is anybody going to, you know, is this going to be available for me? Right. And that reminded me of this. Is he posting that vehicle close so he can keep an eye on it? You know, what's happening? Well, and then I also wondered, and again, the PI didn't say this, And from what he says, he had video that he reviewed. I don't know how much video. But could people have been going and maintaining it? Do you know what I mean? I've been trying to figure out if the information is true and she was found partially frozen, somewhat frozen.
Still thawing, basically.
Right. Like a turkey.
Everybody's put, like, as of right now, think of your turkey, like, in the fridge. Kind of half thawed, kind of half not. That seems to be kind of what they're almost describing.
There are Tesla coolers. Obviously, the Yeti is unbelievable.
Right.
For anybody who doesn't have a Yeti, get one because they're unbelievable. They keep everything cold for weeks. It's crazy.
David, are you listening?
Then you have dry ice. Somebody have been, in other words, was everything in that plastic bag that we saw, was there a little Yeti cooler in there? We know it was 70 pounds. That was from the initial reporting. What else could have been in there? I don't know.
There's so many questions.
Don't you look at credit card statements? Did you buy dry ice? I haven't purchased dry ice.
Well, I'm sure all of that's being looked at right now. Anticipating the next move here, giving everything that's been reported, the forensics, the timeline, the potential for multiple suspects, the non-cooperation. Jen, what do you think is the next major step here in this case in terms of developments?
The next major step is that ME, once the ME probably comes back undetermined, he's got to get that body, which we know we can't even track anymore in their system. That body needs to go to a forensic anthropologist. And they're going to have to dig in on it. Mm-hmm.
Stacey, what are we looking at in the comments section for any questions or anything? I just realized we have a ton of comments over here. Mine was not updating. And then all of a sudden I'm like, refreshed and boom, there's comments.
Yes, there are comments. Why did they not say all of this physical evidence in the autopsy till later, after and only after the LAPD and coroner office are not on the same page? Wiretaps and scouring the electronic footprint. We haven't heard about the Google searches yet. Those will be wild. And I agree with that. I think Google searches at the end of the day give away all of these criminals that we talk about.
Yeah, it's a good point. So with those questions, there were several questions there. But the bottom line is they're really not giving up anything officially. Let's be clear on that. There's very little. We've heard a few statements from law enforcement and at least one statement I've read from the ME's office, which particularly talked about how she was dressed and the identification of the things like that. But we have really had very little information. The information we're getting is source information that has been distributed to various outlets and various individuals. That is really what we're working with right now.
Is that being done on purpose, or is that somebody like, okay, I'll give you a secret?
No, what that is, and in the Bureau, we did this too. Listen, sources are paid a lot of money. And we had sources from within every aspect of every part of society. And when you go to that source and they have information, you pay for it. Mm-hmm. Some are on the rolls like salaried, but
sometimes
you just pay individually. And you bet you these media outlets that have been in LA for years have developed sources. And listen, cops don't make much. FBI agents don't make much. And for them to have that source of money is something that they don't mind.
Wow. So is that, why would they, as of this point, because we're hearing that inside the way that we just described of how these leaks are coming out, that he is being looked at as a suspect, but we don't have an official release saying that David is a suspect, at least on the record as of right now, other than from internal sources. Why not come up with a press conference and say this, or is that not needed at this moment in time?
I don't think it's needed at this moment in time. And I got to tell you, they really need to be balancing having somebody capable, or maybe two people capable, of dismembering and beheading a body that's out in the public right now, not arrested. Mm-hmm. So they should be putting It's not like the Suzanne Morphew case where that was very specifically a murder of his wife, if he again did it, mm-hmm. because, you know, she was having an affair and, you know, very targeted.
Yeah.
This really is something. And it makes you wonder if we believe what the PI said, that they had other plans too, that were horrific, jaw-dropping, would take your breath away, or however he wrote it. He wrote it very dynamically.
Yeah.
You wonder who else is on their next, who else is on their list? Are there any other minors in his circle? I mean, nobody's asking these questions, but I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, is it this or is it that? I mean, and it's scary to think about it the way you're thinking about it, but it's very much a real possibility. You know, we see so many cases where you start going, oh my God, like, is this really Odinism? You know, in cases like that, where it's like, wow, there are people that are capable of thinking these sorts of ways, that are operating in these sorts of ways. And then you start like, we're all kind of shocked by it. That's a very real possibility. I do think the other very real possibility is this is a bunch of very stupid young people that thought that they were making the right choices at that moment in time. And it's ended up looking like this, you know, cornucopia of insanity. I don't know. I'm leaning, I think, a little more towards your direction though, Jen, than I am.
Initially, you and I were on the same page of that. Maybe it was an OD, you know, if this did happen New Year's, again, if we can believe the PI who says he bought the least a new Tesla February 1, and the last photos of her were seen, I believe, in February as well. We're all around the end of January, beginning of February. If all of that is true, look at how long she could have been deceased. And why do you keep a body? She wasn't discovered till September 9th.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was
and all of the movements and all of the actions and all the purchases and every single piece of digital data between her death and up to today, and every day that goes on until someone is actually charged, need to be looked at with a fine-tooth comb, because there will be little tells likely in there from whoever did this. There's going to be actions that were taken after the fact to help conceal this, to help keep people's eyes away from this. There will be things that may not look like anything to the naked eye, but in that context are certainly going to be very telling for whoever is behind this, considering they were able to go almost a year, like 3/4 of a year, without anybody realizing there's a missing dead person in their orbit.
Yeah, and I still ask the question, if this was something that was truly just a crime of passion, something, mm-hmm. why keep that evidence around you, in your car? And that's the piece that makes it all seem so very, very dark.
It's either stupidity or ritual. It seems to be like one of the two.
One of the people in our comment section, Mr. Man 67, this sounds like the disjointed thinking of junkies.
It's a good point too. We don't know right now. I mean, if there's a lot of drug use going on here, who knows? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we know he wrote about that in the lyrics from Romantic Homicide, and the mm-hmm. lyrics from Celeste. That's all he talks about, is being high. And if we could just be high forever, if I could just buy that time to be high, you know, and how great it is. And then if you look at the day after that car was dropped, July 29th, if indeed that's the day it was dropped, according to the PI, if you look at that next day, and I've posted this footage, I mean, he is high as a kite, like his eyes, his, you know, barely make any sense. He's a hot wreck. So I very much believe there was drug use. And we don't know whether it was just, you know, a little weed or weed with something else in it, or far beyond.
I don't know what type of weed that is. That's making you think this shit's a good idea. That's some of
it's not the stuff that helps you sleep, let me tell you that.
It ain't what I'm doing.
Weed with LSD, you know, I don't know. But I've got to tell you, the newest information, if we believe it, Mm-hmm. This is dark and ugly.
Feels like it.
No, it is. It gets darker and uglier by the day. We'll keep watching it. Give us your thoughts in the comments section on this case on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi if you're listening to this on the podcast platform, so you can weigh in as well. And do hit subscribe as well. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you so much for being on and giving us your insight into these cases, as always. And for Todd and Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.